All right, so this is what I did.
Okay.
Went to IMDb, and I looked up the 2026 movie slate, and then I made a list of the 25 movies out of that slate that I am at least interested in. And I'm just going to run through the year in chronological order. I want to get your take on these movies, if you've heard anything about them.
Okay.
First one is Good Luck, Have Fun, Don't Die. Sam Rockwell. You like Sam Rockwell?
Yes.
Okay, so the trailer is him walking into like a Denny's, like a diner, and he's covered in some kind of weird cyberpunk looking outfit, but he's kind of like a hobo.
Mm-hmm.
He's like a cyberpunk homeless man. Walks into a Denny's, tells everybody that he's from the future, and they all need to follow him, and that AI is taking over, and they're going to attack AI. That's the concept. Looks like a comedy. All right, Good Luck, Have Fun, Don't Die. The second one that comes out that I want to see is March 6th, which is The Bride. You've seen the trailer for this. Yes, Christian Bale is Frankenstein.
If he's in, I'm in. I'm always down for Bale.
So you want to see that too?
Yeah.
No need to linger on it. The next one is March 20th, 2026, is The Hail Mary Project, Ryan Gosling in space. Have you seen that?
I'm already kind of turned off.
Just based on just because it's Ryan Gosling?
Kind of.
Okay, all
right. Ryan Gosling in space? Does everybody just get to have a turn in space?
It looks like an interesting movie. I've got my eye on it.
Is it serious? Is it like
It is. It's a drama. It's a sci-fi drama. Dystopian.
Maybe.
On here, actually, IMDb is listing it as dark comedy, which I don't think that's the case.
Maybe we should note that one to actually pull up on YouTube to further investigate.
Hail Mary Project.
Okay.
April 3rd. Is the Super Mario Galaxy movie. Did you see the last Mario movie?
I didn't know this was coming out.
Yeah.
I did see the last one.
You did?
I mean, there's only been the one, right?
Yes.
With
the sequel
Chris Pratt
is this year.
With,
that's a movie to get super high to.
Jack Black. Kinda,
yes.
Really fun. I watched it with my brother and his kids.
Perfect.
Really fun.
Right on the heels on April 17th, Lee Cronin's The Mummy.
Oh,
this is
they're
they're making it a horror movie. The Brendan Fraser movies are fun, but they are kind of swashbuckling adventure movies. That's not really The Mummy. Lee Cronin is doing The Mummy like horror movie, and that I cannot wait for. So I'm excited about that.
Okay.
Then how we got on this topic, May 8th is Mortal Kombat 2.
I would be down to go if we're going to make it a fun summer popcorn, let's get high.
We're going to have to get high for sure.
Then I'm down for that for sure.
May 22nd, I know you're not in. I will go to the theater to see this, but The Mandalorian and Grogu. So it's a, yes.
That's a movie? That's getting
that
a
is a movie. It's a bad title. They should have called it something else. But he's getting his own movie. I guess they are. Mandalorian and Grogu, May 22nd. I'll be in the theater just to keep up with pop culture.
Guys, we have to have something to eat, so I'm going to pitch to you that we eat some food, we maybe repuff and center our thought processes, our chakras, our alignment towards the idea of a new year. Can we begin to scope out our own actual landscape of 2026 in the form of resolutions, in the form of perhaps goals? Maybe you want to call them habits or, I don't know, challenges, whatever phrasing you want to use. We're going to dive into that speak, that thought, that realm. And I have a couple questions and a couple ideas that I want to throw out there, a couple things I might want to share myself in terms of what we have sort of talked about on this podcast.
You have resolutions? Is that where you're going?
I've loosely embraced the idea of them over the years.
Okay.
And on some level, I think I have applied them, you know, so to speak. As somebody who has tried to cultivate becoming a self-sufficiency and like trying to shed bad habits and learn newer good habits in terms of simple speak, good and bad, right?
Yeah.
I like the idea of what a resolution can do around this time of year. I am curious to get your initial thoughts. On this pod, we did do a little sort of resolution chat and talk. the year is right now. We're in the moment now. Let's set these
rules
for ourselves now and try to combat through this shit so that our year is not caught up and not defined by living for the good times, right? Or living for the moments where that we perceive to be our time, you know? Am I making sense or am I just really high?
No, dude, that makes a lot of sense. Like, you can set your goals. Like, just because we set these things for the year doesn't mean we can't set small things that add up to these larger things, which I feel like is the biggest battle for me is setting up these what seem like smaller things that they all add up to the one big thing that we're trying to accomplish, which is to try to be better than what we were last year.
And I think it's worth noting that the year we did that in 2023 was the last time we kind of talked any of this sort of thing. That was the year the pod kind of went on a break and went on a hiatus. So in a nutshell, what I'm getting at is you could almost say our resolutions were completely abandoned. And on some level, 3 years ago seems a lot farther away. You know, as I say this now and I'm sitting here recording with you now. So I can say personally, 3 years ago, I do feel like a different person in a lot of different ways that we could talk about, I guess. But to the context of what we're doing now, here we are again talking resolutions. So I jokingly say, I hope that's not a bad omen that every time we talk resolutions, it means that we don't follow through on them. But to that point.
So in the game of Uno, you have those special cards, right? And popular times, people will say, well, I'm going to throw down the reverse Uno card. And they reverse it back. You know, I'm not going to reverse the question back to you. I'm going to throw a wild card, which changes the notion of the game entirely because I do not do resolutions anymore. Because resolutions mean you can fail them. Oh, my New Year's resolution is go to the gym every day. And then you don't go to the gym every day. Oh, my New Year's resolution, I want to lose 30 pounds. And then you might not lose the 30 pounds. Like saying resolution and then stating a very specific thing you want to obtain, to me, it's either you're able to accomplish it, which is great. Like those of you that do New Year's resolution, that's great that you're able to say that you're going to do that thing and you achieve it. Like I'm all for achieving. But what I realize that what works for me is to set goals for the new year.
Well, I kind of agree with Leroy. I don't tie my self-betterment to, oh, there's a different number on the end of the year now. Okay. And I get why that's a natural thing for most people to do is like, hey, new year, new me. Okay. But that to me also implies, well, it's the year's halfway over and I haven't gotten done whatever it is. So why even try now? Like you should always be trying. Mm. It shouldn't be like a new, oh, this is my resolution for the year. I'm going to be, let's say, more charitable in 2026. Okay, so when 2026 is over, you can go back to not being charitable. Like, what is...
Right.
Why are you wrapping it around the year?
Right.
So, if you want to eat healthier or I want to get in better shape or I want to make more money or I want to date that girl, a guy, whatever it is, like, I don't think that you should necessarily feel like you have a lot of time just because it's early in the year and you don't have any time left because it's at the end of the year. Mm. Always be striving to the goals that you have set for yourself. I think you'll find more success because, I mean, I could see for myself if I were to go like, I want to get in really good shape. And if, you know, life has gotten away from me and I couldn't get to the gym and now it's June and I haven't really gotten at it, then I would just go, well, holidays are coming up. I'm going to eat like dog shit around then anyway. Yeah, yeah. So the rest of the whole year, I don't have to go to the gym. Like,
sure.
No, you should go the next day. Like you get back up on
the
horse and try. So that's my take on quote unquote resolutions.
As somebody that's admitted on recordings and even with you earlier, I like the idea of them, but I think the healthiest approach is to sort of treat it like it's just another time of the year. Like it's Tuesday going into Wednesday. You don't have to proclaim these things in January that dictate your life for the rest of the year. But to that point, couldn't you just come up with a resolution just because regardless of the time of year? I mean, it gets associated with the new year because of this idea of a clean slate. I've kind of struggled in my life with discipline. And
would you say discipline or diligence? Because they are different. You could be disciplined, but not really consistent.
Uh-huh.
I think that people mistake discipline for like, oh, I set my mind to something and I do it. That's willpower. That's a different, that's
okay.
A whole other side of things. I think that there is a total change. I'm not trying to change the subject.
No, no.
To your point. This is the subject. To your point. When you say I haven't been disciplined, what do you mean? Because
I need structure. Otherwise, I'm liable to fart away a day. And then that could turn into a couple of days. You know what I mean? Like by saying, okay, starting in April,
mm-hmm.
April 1st, and April's kind of a long month, right? So not jumping out and picking February every year, but you know, but picking like just a month and not getting so obsessed about even the number, but just saying for that whole month, I'm going to commit to this. Uh-huh. Can I, because I think on a deeper level, you kind of know like, I can't maintain this 365 days out of the year. I'm not going to be able to always do the good choice, the right choice, the best thing, or get the
you're
proper
not gonna
amount
bat a thousand.
Of it. But maybe for 30 days, which isn't even that many, but for 30 days out of 365, I can hone in. I can Batman my way through a month of going like, I'm going to do this every day. That's the extreme end of discipline, right? In a sense, if you were trying to strive for an ideal. But for me, it's like, I need that structure. I kind of, you know, I am lazy. I procrastinate. These are things that I've always kind of struggled with in my life. So,
but if it's your resolution to the point of uh-huh. what you're saying, why does there have to be a like a deadline on it?
There doesn't. That's
you just
what
go,
I'm
going to do this now.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. I just think it, you have to build a habit though. I know for me, you have to kind of build a habit.
Yeah.
And that requires doing it, you know, do it not just throughout this year, do it next year and beyond, and then ideally get better as we go. That is the ultimate goal.
The next one I definitely will not see in theaters. I might not, well, I'll see it out of morbid curiosity eventually. June 5th is Masters of the Universe and He-Man.
Oh!
Movie. And I would be more excited for a schlocky.
Is that the animated? Is it animated?
No, it's live action. And Jared Leto is playing Skeletor.
Your fucking arch nemesis. He's Skeletor?
He's Skeletor.
I had to have known this information at some point.
I'm sad about it, but I do want to see that movie eventually.
Masters of the Universe.
Masters of the Universe.
He's Skeletor. Gosh.
May 5th, or excuse me, June 5th. Curious about this? Not really sure what it's about yet. Next Steven Spielberg movie comes out on June 12th. Yeah, Disclosure Day. Disclosure Day. That's what it is. The blurb on here just says, if you found out you weren't alone, if something showed you, proved it to you, would that frighten you? So it's another existential, there are aliens, Steven Spielberg movie. That's June 12th. June 26th, I know you're already there in the theaters for it, Supergirl. We should stop here for a moment.
Okay.
In terms of you've seen Superman and you see the tone James Gunn's already going with, are you excited for Supergirl? Do you think that it could be a good thing? There's a lot to it.
Yeah. To answer your first question about am I excited for it, on one hand, yes, because it is the continuation of this new era. I want to see where they're going with this. I want to see what the broader scope is on some level. I don't mind that it's Supergirl is the next one. None of that bothers me. But I'm not always excited for Supergirl stories. You know what I mean?
Do you know anything about this story?
Not really, which I think will be beneficial whenever I see it. Because I do think sometimes just kind of going into something without having to be current helps. Maybe it's just about like, fuck it. I don't need to know Supergirl's before and after. It can just be a fun, it can kind of be Mortal Kombat in a way, but it runs the risk of the James Gunn style running stale.
That's my big concern is the trailer, the new trailer for Supergirl to me just looks like more Guardians of the Galaxy. And this storyline, which if you don't want to know anything, I'm not going to spoil it for you, but this story they're doing, the graphic novel that it's based off of, is a very cool story, but it is also the most James Gunn-y kind of Guardians of the Galaxy kind of weird cosmic thing. And then another big one, speaking of kind of DC royalty here, Christopher Nolan has a movie coming out right after that. Not DC, but The Odyssey is July 17th. So what's your take on this? Are you excited?
Oh yeah, of course. He's another one, and I know I don't have to tell you this. We've talked about it on here before. It's like a Christian Bale. Like, there may not be movie stars anymore
in the
old school traditional sense, but there still are people personally that if they're doing a movie, I'm in. Christopher Nolan is in the same camp, right?
He's
like, I have to go see this.
And his last few movies have not soured that for you.
No, really? Because no, dude, it's like, no, because he's still that guy. It's like, I don't look at it like a sports thing. You know, it's, you know, Memento still exists.
Memento, the prestige still exists. Also phenomenal.
Like the
prestige.
Batman trilogy still exists, and there are three of them. And you know what I mean? I'll say this, and I think I'm always confronted with this because it's something I've said many times. I've said it on this podcast before. I've said it to people a bunch. Every year, I'm always like, this is the year I'm going to do it. This is the year I'm going to do it. And then I don't fucking do it. Getting a fucking passport. I think an overall approach to life is, in simplistic terms, the idea of a marathon, not a sprint, right? It's like the progress, the growth, the learning, the bettering should happen as you're getting older. And it's sort of counterintuitive to the idea that you have to accomplish certain things by a certain time in your life. That those two things kind of clash, right? Because the long-term personal growth approach flies in the face of, do you have the mortgage? Do you have the thing? Do you have the accomplishments? Have you done this? Have you done that? You know what I'm saying?
Totally. I think that's something that one wakes up to later in life than I expected to, I guess. Yeah, these like milestones that we put on, oh, by this age, I'll have this figured out. Or I'm going to, if you hold on too tightly to that shit and these benchmarks that I'm supposed to be here and I'm not, you're never going to be where you thought you were supposed to be. You're always going to be looking one way and life's going another. And you just have to ride that sort of momentum. Maybe that's just a guy in his 40s realizing a little too late that, oh, nobody knows what they're doing. Everyone's full of shit.
Okay.
Just, you know, go with life the way that life comes at you and try to be happy.
And you're a surfer though too. You do things like surf and snowboard. And I think, and this is coming from obviously the guy who's never done that, but it would seem like a good trait and ability to have is to go with the flow. Like nobody's ever good at skating and ice skating and snowboarding, all those things, unless you're able to literally go with the flow and balance and react to things as you go, right?
Yeah. And forgive me, I feel like I probably used this metaphor on the podcast before because I was saying it a lot. Not to be stereotypical, but I do have this philosophy on life that is also my philosophy on surfing. So go with me here. You're not a surfer, but you understand that you have to wait in a lineup. You're waiting on your board and there is a line. There's a person in front of you and when it's your turn, you get to get whatever wave is coming in. But the next wave that's coming in, that's yours. You can't just sit there waiting.
I don't like that one.
There's people behind you waiting in line. Right, exactly. Think of that as kind of like generations. Each generation comes up. It's their turn. You get kind of to interact with the waves that are coming in, however the universe is sending energy.
Right.
I think you can also zero it down to not just generations, but you as an individual. You can spend all day sitting out there in the lineup, waiting for the wave that you thought you deserved, the one that was always coming to you, the one that you've been dreaming about. But eventually, the surf is going to come in and you have to take whatever wave is given to you. And maybe it's not exactly the way that you had pictured it, but this is the privilege of being alive, is getting to grow and develop in order for you to conquer the obstacles that are put before you to make the best out of the situation. And I think that applies to both surfing and to life in general. I have been doing a lot of forced growth, and I've been thrown into a lot of avenues I never thought I would be in and had access to make life-changing things actually happen more than I had ever thought would happen before. But also it's caused a lot of unhappiness. Like, you want to get real? We'll do a little pie guys share.
Let's get into the confessional.
Yeah, and the confessional.
You can feel safe to talk about stuff in the confessional, right? Where we are.
No, man. I get it. Like, we all go through chapters in our life, and this, I'm been at the end of a chapter and beginning of a new one, and so far it's been all misery. Like, I can't find my joy anymore. Mm-hmm. I'm not like on the day to day. Like, it's just like, oh, all I do is I go to work and I cook, and I meal prep, I make my meals for the week, and I go to work and I come back and I go to sleep and I go to the gym and then I go to work, and that's all it is. There's no joy. I'm not excited about anything anymore. I'll get excited about, hey, I got a snowboarding trip coming up. I do have a snowboarding trip coming up end of this week. I'm excited about that. But I just hate the feeling of like living for the weekend.
Yeah.
I was always sort of a corporate kind of stooge sort of.
The weekend means something when you're on the grind that you're in, right? And that's kind of what you're going through, right?
It's depressing. It's depressing.
And you're not used to that though either. I can relate on some level of when you feel like you're going towards something you never planned to do. You don't even want to do on some level, but you're kind of feel like circumstances forced you into. And the only thing you can do is make the best of it, right? Like is to meet it, right? Not shy from it, but you have to kind of meet it, and you've more than done that. But now you're in the thick of the grind, and
yeah,
and that's the sort of I mean, how long in fiction and in things has man been portrayed of like raging against the machine, right? Of raging against the 9 to 5 Monday through Friday corporate shit. And unfortunately our lives find us having to deal with that, having to like coexist and harmonize with that. And so maybe to the topic at hand, maybe the universe challenges you in not just yearly ways, right? Like, all right, I'm gonna throw this thing at you again that you've experienced and been tripped up on. It's like the same hurdle, you know, you can't quite clear it. So maybe it's like a daily challenge. Maybe that's part of it. You set yourself on some level of, you know, not having joy. Maybe the universe is putting you through this so that you can rediscover what that means to you and maybe how to seek it out. I can't help but when I hear you say that, go, well, let's change that here. Let's change that with each other. And on the flip side, as soon as I say that in the same breath, go, man, it's so tiring though, right? Like, it's enough sometimes to just get through the day. Again, I guess to steer it back to this specific idea of resolutions, I know one thing for me, I don't mean to sound preachy by any means, but something I know I've gotten better at. I'm not good at it, but I've definitely gotten better at practicing gratitude. One thing I've tried to hold myself to help me is to find time to be grateful for what I do have, for what is around me. So I don't know. I'm not trying to say I've cracked the code or I figured something out, but I throw that out there as something that maybe you can find some success in. I guess part of the thing with you, like you were saying earlier, is it's almost counter of me on some level, because I was saying I need the discipline, right? I need like this structure. And it seems like on some level, there's maybe too much structure, right?
In order for me to not only navigate but survive my life, then yeah. I need some structure. Like, I could show you the alarms that I have set on my phone. I have at least 6 or 7 alarms that go off every single day. All of December, I was there overnight, would work from 6 p.m. to about 7 or 8 a.m.
Damn.
That kind of sucked the entire
completely month. Changes your whole life.
Yeah. There, yeah. So just now sort of recovering. We're in the
sure.
end of.
But there's that surfer background and ability, right? Like you rode that wave.
Went with it. Just like, yeah. I'm going to be fine. It's all good. This is not the surf that I wanted.
And over the over the course of, let's say, a calendar year, things balance out, right?
Then this one might surprise you that I'm excited, but I do like these movies. July 24th is Evil Dead Burn. It's the new Evil Dead movie. I don't know if Ash is in it, but they're kind of teasing that Ash is in it. I'm excited for Evil Dead Burn. I don't know what direction they're taking it, but if it's anything like the last one that came out, the one before that I really like. Evil Dead Burn, that's exciting. July 31st is Spider-Man. I will see that in theaters.
Which one? What's it called now?
Brand New Day. It is the live action Spider-Man.
Is this another Tom Holland?
This is another Tom Holland. So this is
not to just trivialize it like that, but I honestly don't know. I'm that out of the loop.
This is the fourth one of those.
Okay, he gets a fourth one.
This is number
four. He's becoming the superhero guy now. What's there to be excited about a fourth Tom Holland starred
Spider-Man? First of all, I think he's the best Spider-Man that's ever been a live action Spider-Man. This is coming from an old nerd where my generation, everyone screams about Tobey Maguire.
And yeah.
Even when those movies came out, I was grateful to have a Spider-Man movie. I was grateful to have a superhero movie at all, being a nerd. But Tobey Maguire was never a good Peter Parker.
Really?
Oh, dude, go back and watch those movies. They are fun, but Spider-Man spends most of the time crying about Mary Jane.
Isn't that what he does? Isn't that what he does, though?
Not that much. It was like the whole plot was centered around, Mary Jane. Like, okay. My point being, I think Tom Holland's a good Spider-Man. I'm excited for this movie. Marvel hasn't been great with the whole multiverse saga, but this has to be the thing that tees up like the wider audience for Doomsday, because we know Doomsday is coming at the end of the year.
What's the date for the Spider-Man?
Spider-Man is July 31st. Okay. Doomsday is the following December, right on its heels. So it's got to do something at the end of this movie to tee up that. I'm sure that we're going to get some kind of crazy post-credit thing on this. Okay, this is a must-see in theaters, and this is a must-get super stoned beforehand. You probably didn't know this was coming. August 7th, Super Troopers 3.
Three? I didn't know, but that's another one where I would love to know less and then just go in blind and be like, let's go for the ride.
Okay, I didn't know this was happening until I looked it up, but August 28th, there's a Cliffhanger remake. Remember Cliffhanger?
Stallone,
yeah.
And Third Rock from the Sun.
Jonathan Lithgow, yeah. That's August 28th. I'm going to go check it out. Not in theaters.
Who's
in
that? Who's Stallone? Is it Jared Leto?
The stars are Lily James, Pierce Brosnan, and somebody named Bruno Gowry. I'm guessing Pierce Brosnan's probably the bad guy. He's probably Jonathan
Lithgow. He's bad guy. Right?
So maybe it's this Lily James. Maybe it's a gender swap thing.
Huh.
Cliffhanger. Also, same day, August 28th, Coyote versus Acme. Do you know anything about this movie? That it got
it's
canceled.
It's the movie that will never get released.
Yes. But it's getting released. August 28th. I do want to see this in theaters just to make a fucking point.
For the hype, I have to go see it, right? Yeah. We have to go see it.
Yeah. Probably the movie I'm most excited about in 2026 comes out on September 11th, unfortunately. Bad release date, but...
On purpose.
Let's talk about Mike Flanagan's Clayface.
Let's please talk about it. If you look right over there to your right, on top of the Dark Knight Rises armory is Clayface from Batman the Animated Series.
Voiced by Ron Perlman then.
Ron Perlman's Clayface. Why is that important? It's a podcast. You can't see those things. But I love Clayface is what I'm getting at.
Favorite?
On a
favorite
short
Batman
list.
Batman villain?
He's on the Mount Rushmore for me. I think you're looking at Clayface, you're looking at Mr. Freeze. And the other spots, I don't know. Maybe they are a literal question mark because I don't know. But also, is it the Riddler? It's not the Riddler. I will say that. I don't think the Riddler would be in my top four. And we don't need to flesh that out right now. But Clayface is awesome. I know there's going to be a CG component to it.
Sure.
But I'm really hopeful that there are some...
They've already said that they're doing practical. A lot of practical.
That's what I'm hoping practical.
But I think it's also going to be pretty minimalist. My theory...
Yeah, he's not going to be...
He's never going to be a big mud monster,
he's not
going to
be a big clay guy.
Yeah, right.
Unfortunately.
Well, yeah, it's going to be
because
a regular dude whose face is melting.
I think they could do that, though.
They could.
I think they could do it in a practical way.
I do, too.
I think you just have to get... creative. Yeah, I think you have to get creative and not just how cool can we storyboard and shoot a shot,
right?
And can we AI our way to victory? Yeah, but I would love to see a perfect melding of that. But Clayface rules, man.
Don't forget September 11th, 2026 is Clayface.
And it's called Clayface.
It's just called Clayface.
And he's gone on record as saying it is directly inspired by the Batman animated series, Feet of Clay. Episodes.
Mike Flanagan did say that.
Right?
That is true.
That's amazing.
I hope they actually lean into the horror of it, because that episode is pretty scary. scary, please, especially for a kid's show. But yeah, lean into the horror. Hopefully there's practical effects.
Please.
I just don't want to see like, oh, it's just a regular guy whose face melts a couple times. Like, let's see an arm weapon.
If you are going to base it off of the animated series episode, then I kind of want to see him flailing around in the control room.
Yeah.
At some point.
Right.
You know, and this is deep cut spoiler reference type stuff. Yeah. But if you know, you know. Wanted to throw the idea out to you of maybe something a little bit more specific with resolutions. Is there something you would want to change about your life this year? And if so, is there something you could maybe think about right now as a resolution that could help that happen?
Yeah, I would like to find a more sustainable work-life balance. And that's something that I think is an achievable thing to get done in a year. But I also think that it's something that if that's something that you want, you should just always be doing, like I said. So,
Right. Yeah,
I'm trying not to fall into this trap that you set, which is well-crafted.
What do you mean?
I was, you know, saying I don't believe in resolutions, and you are getting me to make a resolution for the year. So I do have a thing that I would like to work on with
if you're like self-assessing, right? If you're self-analyzing your current state,
it's fair.
Like, yeah, call it what you will. It's
my resolution. Just like, it's like you're taking pulse. To find a better work-life balance.
I think that's
helpful. I also would like to be in a more fulfilling field. I'm making pursuits of that, and we'll see. It's, you know, a lot of it is luck.
Some people will tell you, maybe I'm some people, but some people would say the fact that you said it out loud right now,
it's like a manifesting thing.
In a way, it is interacting with the universe, is it not? If you had never said it out loud, if you had never even thought or felt that way about those things.
Can I be honest with you? Okay, so to this point, and it was a total accident, but I have realized that there are some things when I was younger and more immature that I would lie about, and I would lie about them. I would lie about them so frequently that not only would I forget that I was lying, and that's the truth, but because I said it out loud so much, it ended up becoming the truth. Like, I had manifested it. It was a lie when I created it.
Self-fulfilling prophecy, right?
But it changed certain circumstances that just became a true thing now. And I was like, oh, fuck. Do I have powers? I had the power of lie.
I think it's a thing. I like what that's at. Something to change. To echo that and to dovetail off that, I will say the passport thing. For me, I would...
Passport's big deal.
I've never traveled outside the country. I've never been to another country. I've never been over any of the oceans.
All right, pop quiz real fast then, real quick. So you have your passport.
Yeah.
You're handed... You're handed a $100,000 budget.
Hell yeah.
Where are you going right now? What's the choice? What's the destination?
Japan.
Japan is top of the list for you.
Yeah, it's Japan. Japan, because I also want to see Australia. So at the end of the Japan trip, I'm going to swing down to Australia before I come back home.
Got it. Why do you have to do Japan first and then Australia? You can't go down under first?
Why Japan? A lot of reasons. Japan is going to be both, I mean, it's foreign period, but it's going to be both like culture shock foreign. How different is it going to be? Well, it's going to be different, but I can swing down to Australia after to bridge the gap between obviously foreign and extreme. There's going to be some extreme foreign.
Yeah, but they're still Western culture.
But they're very, they're very much more Western. So it's like I'm easing my way back into, I don't know, man. You asked me, I'd say Japan.
New Zealand is my number one spot that I need to see. I might not come back from New Zealand, to be honest with you.
You take a one-way flight, and then you're just going to figure something out over
there. Might, if they'll have me. Europe is really cool. I've been all over Europe.
We talked about this before. Ireland is big on my list.
Dope, dude. Ireland's
that's part of
so
my lineage, but I feel like so much of traveling as a concept, as an idea, as a destination, I'm open to because it is all new to me. So talk about something to change, to make new in this year, and not just for this year, but to obviously carry that on into the rest of my life would be a passport and to introduce traveling into my life.
Okay.
How about this then with the resolution talk? Is there something new, completely new that you've thought about maybe for a time, but just haven't made the time that you go, you know what? Why not now? For a time, I thought I wanted to do jiu-jitsu as like a thing. I'd kind of practice it. Not like I'm going to like actually fight somebody, but like this as a practice of it, as an athletic thing, as an exercise, for instance. So I don't know. Is there something random or wild like that that you've maybe toyed with and then talked yourself out of that you could be like, all right, 2026, fuck it, I'll try it. And maybe this will have a domino effect towards these some of these other things you've talked about in terms of breaking up the monotony of your everyday life, et cetera.
Sure. I mean, like there's a couple of – it doesn't apply so much to 2026 as much as it does – really more 2024, but this is just, I guess, a continuation of it. Growing up, I did not like golf at all. Didn't want to play golf. Got forced to play golf a couple of times, had a miserable time. Didn't like the people who did play golf and thought golf courses were a big giant waste of water and space. However, if you go out there with a couple of friends, and it's more about just walking around and being outside than it does competing what your score is.
Yeah.
I do like playing golf. It's fun.
As a leisurely thing,
yeah,
it's awesome, I think.
Yeah.
Super humbling.
Yeah, yes.
Like classically difficult. So I guess to that point, you thinking about getting into it more, or you have been getting into it?
I did when I had a little bit more time. I like to play 18 holes of golf.
Like to actually play, okay.
Yeah.
It's hard. It's fucking hard.
It is, but if you don't take it seriously at all, I play at least two over par. As soon as I hit a double bogey, I just pick up and I'm done with that hole. I'm not holding anybody up, but I'm good enough to stay within that range and to kind of
keep the flow going.
Keep the flow going and not take it seriously. And I get upset when I tee off if it slices into the woods or whatever.
It goes 10 feet.
I'm like, whatever, I'll just drop down there. Who gives a shit? It's not really about I'm the best golfer here. It's
okay.
About
so
being outside, breathing fresh air.
Can't you make that, can't you extrapolate that concept and now apply that to everyday life, right? Like you're saying.
Of course. Okay, there's more applicable of a cavalier sort of way of living your life that I think, especially at the age that I'm at now, I don't have the luxury of time, so I can't be as cavalier. I can be cavalier with my golf game because I don't give a fuck. I'm already winning. I get to be outside. I'm here with my friends. Every once in a while, they bring a snack cart by. Like that's what it's about. It's not about like, oh, I'm the best golfer. Great. I don't even keep score. I genuinely don't. I don't have the card. I don't give a fuck. I keep score hole by hole. And if somebody asked me what I got in the previous hole, I've already forgotten. So
how's that for a resolution?
Yeah.
More carts. How about this then? The kind of round out resolution chat. Is there something that you used to do? Maybe you've already kind of talked about it, I'm not sure.
Okay.
Is there something you used to do that you miss, that you wish you were doing still, that fuck it, maybe we can resurrect that for 2026, add it to the list?
Sure, man. I mean, I do, maybe not as much as you might expect, but there is a bit of me that does miss performing. On some level, I've never was a performer first person. Like I would much rather direct than perform. I would much rather write than perform.
But you have performed.
I have, but I never thought of myself Batman. As a performer. Thank you for, yes, I got to be Batman. But yeah, I do miss parts of it. Like I get to still do like a charity thing once a year. I do this thing that's around Christmas time, which is nice. So certain roles that I got to play were really a lot of fun. I don't think I was in the moment as much as I now in hindsight wish I had been.
You're touching on things that I've been feeling myself as well. And so I'm going to basically copy your answer. I hope it can happen in 2026. And I will say that, I guess it can. Maybe all these things, like it can, if we work towards these, rather than saying, I hope, I think, I wish, it would be nice, maybe. But I miss doing theater. Yeah, a lot of what I get paid to do is theater adjacent or very much theater, but I'm talking like we have a table read the first day we get together. We have the rehearsal where we have our scripts in our hands and the stage manager's there giving us lines. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I miss that environment and like, oh, the show goes up in 3 weeks and we have tech week and opening night and dress rehearsal and there's a lobby and a green room. You know, I haven't had that experience in a while. So I can, as much as I still get the chance to perform, I can definitely relate. And not to completely nerd out on theater, but that's still the best of it, in my opinion. Like, the best stuff to do as an actor, and I think the best stuff to go see is live. Mm-hmm. First of all, whatever, music, theater, sex, what?
Well, moving into October, there's a weird one to kick us off on October 2nd. Do you know Alejandro G. Iñárritu?
Maybe not.
Have you seen The Revenant?
No.
Oh, you should see The Revenant.
I know that movie, but no.
But October 2nd, he's got a movie with Tom Cruise, which is a comedy called Digger. The trailer is out right now.
Tom Cruise in a comedy. All right, you have my attention.
It's Tom Cruise kind of giving vibes a little bit of his character from Tropic Thunder.
Oh.
The blurb on IMDb says the most, because you can't tell this from the teaser that's out. The teaser is just a weird guy dancing with a shovel, which is Tom Cruise. But the IMDb says this is what the movie is about. The most powerful man in the world embarks on a frantic mission to prove that he is humanity's savior before the disaster that he's unleashed destroys everything. A comedy from the director of The Revenant. So, all right. Now, October 16th, I will say, I don't know about seeing it in the theater. I will give it a chance eventually, but I'm pretty pessimistic about the new Street Fighter movie.
Oh, yes.
It looks really corny, and it looks like, I know Street Fighter's corny, and the fun of it is that it's corny, but... Bro, some of the casting choices they made.
It is head scratching.
So weird. Mm-hmm. So weird.
But I think in an odd way, it's working for that movie because it's getting people to go to notice it. You know what I mean? Yes. I'll say this. If I'm going to go on the ride for Mortal Kombat and go and kind of go whatever, then I'm down to go to the theaters to see Street Fighter. It's going to be wacky.
Some of my favorite Street Fighter characters are like Ken is my main. Ken's my favorite character.
Yeah.
I also used to really like Vega. I don't know. This guy that they cast as Vega, I guess he got the part because he also wears a mask.
I know very little of him, but I've seen that apparently that's his gimmick. That's his thing.
He's a country star that wears a mask. Yes. So, perfect. You're Vega. Like,
you'll understand. He understands the psyche.
It's weird. And Dave Dust Malchin, who I like, he's hilarious and a lot. I like him pretty much everything else I've ever seen him in. M. Bison is a weird choice.
Yeah.
And I think they're hoping that he's going to give some kind of weird Raul Julia-esque.
That's what that seems like they're trying to go for.
I don't know, man.
I know you and I grew up with and are heavily big fans of the animated Street Fighter movie. Of 1993 fame, I believe.
So good.
It's hard for anything. Like when I want to watch a serious take on the brand, that's the movie I'm going to go to. But if you want to watch a fluffy, like Andrew Schultz is fucking Dan.
It will be cool to see one of the what's his name, the wrestler guy that's Akuma.
Well, there's a couple. Cody Rhodes is Guile, and then Roman Reigns.
Roman Reigns, that's it.
Is Akuma.
Is Akuma,
who was one of my favorite characters. Speaking of Akuma. That, I always thought Akuma was really cool.
You had to know how to unlock it,
and there was a secret way to get him on the menu screen back in the day.
That's true. That's happening October 16th. Did you see Godzilla Minus One?
No,
you should. I know. It's great. Shame the follow up Godzilla Minus Zero is November 6th. All right. This is one I don't know. I'm not going to see in the theater. Probably a movie I'll watch with my parents the Christmas, the year after. Focker-in-Law is November 25th.
Is this a trilogy continuation of Meet the Parents?
This is number four, sir.
This is Meet the Parents, though, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Ben Stiller, Robert De Niro.
Mm-hmm. I think this is the fourth one, at least the third one.
I think you're right. Meet the Parents.
But yeah.
Meet the Fockers.
Focker-in-Law.
Fuck around and find out.
Is Fock around. That's November 25th.
And then this one, yeah.
All right. We're probably going to have to take another little aside here. I know you're not as big of a fan, but December 18th is the big movie day that everybody else wants to get out of the way other than Dune, which we'll get to. But that's Avengers Doomsday.
Look, it's probably a good thing that we only get the release date for Avengers Doomsday and not
actual Doomsday. Am I right? Hey, don't worry. We will get back to the movie later on in this episode. But did you know that this year, the Doomsday clock moved closer to midnight? And well, we think we know what the problem is over here. The problem is everyone's so caught up out there going round and round about my side and your side. But we also know what the solution is. It's simple. It's more pizza, more pie. I mean, think about it. If people were spending more time going round and round the table with friends and family and loved ones and strangers and sharing pizza and pie and telling stories and laughing and celebrating and having fellowship and getting high, there would be no time for, oh my God, it's almost midnight. And that's what we do over here at the Pie Guys. More pizza, more pie. Make this the year of actual change. Subscribe today to the Pie Guys podcast, where every new listener is 1 second we push back against the doomsday clock. Because at this rate, we might get there before Avengers Doomsday. We can't have our doomsday until we've had our doomsday. So subscribe today and tell a friend, because we've got plenty of slices for all of them. Maybe part of the lesson of this conversation and the real takeaway that we can have, both of us, is going back to listen to this one and then going, okay, it's not about that you said these were all going to be resolutions for this year, but maybe all these things you've just been saying, whether it's the 9 to 5 Monday through Friday, the desire to perform again, you want to do these things, you want to try this. Maybe just the fact that we've had this conversation is the sign that this is the year to experiment that way. You've embraced the path you're on. It's not always fun. It's not enjoyable, right? Like, you use the word joy, and you also said something poignant about life. It's not just life sucks, right? It's yes. And then what?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, and then what does that mean to you? How do you process that information? How do you ride the wave of life sucks to not just survive, which obviously we've done to this point, right? We're still alive in this year. We've survived COVID and we've survived the other things that have come and gone. But then going forward, how does it set you up for success? Because yeah, I feel like there are chunks we kind of talked about the other day. There's chunks of my life I don't remember, right? The 20s are, I don't even know. There's things I feel like are gone now on some level behind me. Mm-hmm. There's enough time has passed that I'm like, oh shit, this is not a part of me anymore. But I've also gotten to a part of my life where I kind of have to burn off parts of me. And I know that sounds aggressive to put it that way, but like, I have kind of to shed myself of those things if I am going to actually grow up, if I am going to actually mature, if I am going to actually evolve and become a better person, et cetera. So I don't know if any of that is making sense, but that's where my head's been a lot lately. I've been on a similar personal journey of like self-work, and a lot of it's quiet, a lot of it's behind closed doors, right? Yeah. And a lot of it, you do, I think, have to kind of get real with yourself about like, all right, what is my time frame like? I think that's why for me, I do end up looking at months a lot of times, or weeks. I have a weekly thing and a calendar there. You start realizing I don't have a ton of it left. Not to get super negative with it.
You're just being practical.
But again, that's not having enough of it left is another way of saying life sucks. So then the isn't therefore the lesson to take that and then improve upon that day by day? We're going to kind of rail against that. Like, life does suck, but it doesn't have to suck. You know what I mean? You're going through a tough time now. It doesn't mean it's always going to be tough times.
I think that the realization that every new day you wake up is not one more day, it's one less, sounds grim, but it does make you focus on the things in your life that actually really matter.
Okay.
Right? And I think that is sort of the, for us being, you know, we just finished our 30s. So now we're at 40 is a big deal, right? You got to start to really look at your mortality. And it's not to say that 40 is old. It's just, you said it before, it's enough. I've lived enough life already to really have an informed sort of strategy about how I want to live my life. But I also, God willing, feel I have enough life ahead of me to really still kind of make something happen for me here.
Yeah.
It's not really about, oh, well, this is what I've got now. It's like, oh, I can sort of pull it together in the second quarter before we go into halftime with a winning strategy.
Why not?
So yeah, it's a weird age to be.
But I think that it does force you to look at your own inevitable mortality. And when you do that more often, I think it's a healthy thing, not a morbid thing or a grim thing. Yeah, I do believe. I saw it written the other day and it stuck with me that the moment that you realize that every morning you wake up is one less day, not one more day, you'll focus on what really matters.
Yeah, that's kind of heavy, but I get what you're saying. And I think it is an interesting way of looking at it. You've also said something, you've used a quote before, if I can again speak for you a little bit, that has always resonated with me. And I know to an even deeper core, and we'll have to save this for another deeper conversation, everything you want and are seeking or need or whatever is on the other side of fear, mm-hmm. right? And
painted on the wall in my bedroom.
And maybe, yeah, okay.
It is.
And maybe that's the true universal challenge on a daily, weekly, monthly, yearly, rest of your life basis is dealing with fear and in its many forms that it can take place.
Yeah.
It's not just one entity that you fight and overcome. And I've beaten fear and I'm never fearful again. How do you respond in the face of that? How do you respond in the face of one less day
I think
to live?
Fear, and there are exceptions, obviously. I'm not trying to be extreme here, but generally speaking, I think that fear is a good signal for the things that you should lean into.
Ah.
Because you're afraid of the things that are limiting you. I don't want to take that job. I'm not good enough for that thing. Or I don't want to talk to that girl. She's out of my league. Whatever it is. If you have that fear, I think you should lean more towards that fear. You should book the trip to go to Australia with your family and jump in the shark cage, whatever
there you go.
It is.
There you go.
There's a healthy level of fear that you need to press against in order to be constantly growing, to be maybe giving yourself a thrill, but make it life worth living rather than just surviving your life. It's a little bit of scary. It's the inside reference, and only you and I will know what I'm talking about, but it is the fireworks on the beach. It's, you know, like,
yes.
You gotta have a little bit of sketch in your life,
uh-huh.
A little bit of fear, a little bit of that keeps us young.
Yeah.
You know? What are you expecting out of this? Do you give a shit at all? Do you know anything about Dr. Doom? What's your take?
I know he's your bread and butter too. I know you love him as a fan, so I'm sure you could kind of educate myself and the listener as to Dr. Doom. I think he's cool, got a cool look. I know very little of Dr. Doom, so I'm willing to just buy in on the fact that he's a legendary villain. I know that he's got sort of GOAT status amongst, when you break down like the heavy hitters in the Marvel universe of like universe-threatening type villains. You have a Thanos, you have a Dr. Doom, of course you have Galactus, you have like, it's a short list of guys, and he makes that list. So the stakes are high in terms of those things. I can get behind all that, but then there's all the other things. If you thought I was getting annoyed that they're recycling the same actors by appropriately casting Jason Momoa as Lobo, then you can maybe begin to understand where I would be going with my thoughts about Robert Downey Jr., because it isn't a mark on him or an indictment on him at all as like a person, an actor, or anything like that. But I think it's sucky.
I
think it's really sucky that he's Dr. Doom. I guess if I was a bigger fan, maybe I would have a stronger take on it. But as somebody,
it reeks of desperation.
But partly because I am a passive fan, it's not like I try not to like Marvel stuff. You know, I don't want to put that out there. Like I don't like Marvel. It's not true at all. I've always liked Spider-Man. I've always liked the X-Men predominantly in terms of Marvel brand stuff. But my main gripe all these years has been they don't have any consequences any of their stuff.
Everybody comes back to life.
Everybody crying when everybody was turning to leaves. It was like, you know, they're not dead, dude. This guy just got his movie. Like, he's coming back. He has a fucking 5-picture deal, as we know.
Sure.
So,
yeah.
So there's some of that with it, but well before Endgame, they had already established that everything's gonna wrap up nicely at the end.
I think
and so. For this to happen, cements that even more so.
I get it. Like, yeah, Marvel is very light on stakes. I also, as you said, I am a huge Dr. Doom fan. He is like, who do you think Mount Rushmore is for comic book villains? Not just DC or Marvel. Like, who belongs on there?
And you think he's that big?
Dr. Doom easily gets a spot on
the Mount Rushmore. Comic, so this is obviously encompassing.
Villains. Yes, he's definitely a problem. I love him. I don't think that Disney is going to ever do Doctor Doom the way that I liked as a kid, which is legitimately scary. It's more the sorcerer side of things, the black magic, and he went down to hell several times. It's like a kind of a darker side of Marvel Comics that they're going to flirt with you know, Midnight Suns and the Blade, and they'll flirt with the darker side of stuff, but it is ultimately Disney, and I think they're always going to shy away from that. I also think that now, because of this movie, everyone's always just going to associate Doctor Doom with, oh, he's evil Iron Man. He's the bad Iron Man.
Right.
That's not that character at all.
It kind of cheapens both of those characters, right?
Exactly.
In the general public side. It's like,
that's a bummer. But I am also, I say all that, I am still excited for this movie. I am excited just to see Doctor Doom in live action. The little kid in me will have a nice thrill to that. It's going to be cool to see the Fox X-Men come back in like classic looking. I'm sure you've seen the stuff that's on out online all over the place, but like Cyclops is back. He's in the blue and the thing. He looks like the animated series. I'm excited for all of that. So yeah, I'll be there for it. We'll see if they're going to course correct. I mean, this is only part one of two. Secret Wars is next year.
I was going to say, question on that.
That's the thing that actually reboots everything.
Okay,
so they say it's in a soft reboot after this.
So RDJ gets a 2-picture deal.
That's what he has for right now, is a 2-picture deal.
Okay. Yeah,
and I've apparently...
Hell of a contract from what I've read, too.
This is surprising to me, too, that at no point in this movie coming up, this one, Doomsday, that we get this year, at no point do they explain why Dr. Doom looks like Iron Man. And why is it Robert Downey Jr. playing this role? They're going to, I guess, in Infinity War, but people are going to go to this movie expecting, like, how's this work or whatever. We don't get that this year. Everybody has to speculate about it for a whole year more. So we're coming in on the end of the year here. Obviously, same day as Doomsday. I think it's going to get buried, no pun intended, but Dune. Dune Part 3 is coming out, if anybody gives a shit. They lost me at Dune Part 2.
I didn't see either one.
I couldn't
so
care.
I guess really... I'm not the best dude for this list on some level, but I'm just not into it.
It's too weird.
I can take it or leave it. And,
it's too weird. It's not for me either. Okay, this one, probably second most anticipated for me in 2026. Have you seen any of Robert Eggers' movies?
The Witch, I guess I did see that one.
Okay, well, December 25th, Christmas Day, he's doing Werewolf.
He also did Nosferatu, right?
Yes, he did. Yeah, so he did Nosferatu. I like his style. I haven't seen The Witch. It kind of creeps me out, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
But Robert Eggers' thing is kind of just like this dull, haunting uneasiness.
Yeah.
I'm excited to see a werewolf movie by him.
So okay.
That's Christmas Day.
Cool.
The last one on the list here, number 25, doesn't actually have a release date. It is just coming out slated right now, 2026.
Okay.
Sometime in the year, we're probably towards the back end of the year, because this looks like it's trying to be Oscar bait to me. But Hugh Jackman is in The Death of Robin Hood this year.
I've only seen the name of it.
Well, it is Hugh Jackman, and I like the idea of like kind of an old man Logan style Robin Hood.
It's The Death of Robin Hood?
That's what it's called, The Death of Robin Hood, sometime this year. So...
But I wanted to throw out a couple other things real quick.
Okay.
Just in terms of the pod, there are things that we've talked about, things that came up over the course of recordings that I want to pursue personally, but I think for the pod, it would be really fun to do collectively with you and other people and to sort of see come to life. So we kind of have to hold ourselves accountable a little bit.
Okay.
But one of those things is the reading challenge.
Yeah.
We've talked about it recently.
Got it.
I will say this, for a listener's standpoint, we are getting a group together. There will be a collective reading challenge for the year of 2026 in terms of total numbers, etc. That's yet to be determined, and we will probably talk about that on a soon recording.
Well, it will certainly encourage me to read more than I would have normally have read.
So, a net positive already just by agreeing to take on the challenge. So that's coming in 2026. Something we talked about before, 4 years ago, 3 or 4 years ago at this point, a bowling team. I know it's not for everybody's cup of tea. You were talking about golf earlier. I'll just throw this out there. This might be the perfect thing to shake up your weekly schedule. Let's say you personally. It would just be probably one night out of the week to get together with some friends.
Yeah.
We join some random league. We don't need to be good at bowling. It's not about that. It's more about we're fostering a weekly thing to meet and to be social. You want to talk about work-life social balance? And we'll probably pick up a bit of a skill. The more you do something, the better you get it. So maybe by the end of the season, season, the hypothetical season that doesn't even exist.
True.
We would actually get better at bowling, network with people, genuinely probably have a good time. Yeah. I feel like it's also a net positive.
Yeah.
Make custom shirts.
Probably eat more nachos than I normally would.
Definitely more nachos. So maybe it has to offset your workout resolutions for 2026. Drink some White Russians, dude. You know what I mean?
Of course.
I'm just throwing that out there. A Pie Guys bowling team would be magical.
That would be a lot of fun.
And we have enough people that I know we could pull from to get a ragtag group together. And throw that out there as a resolution and something that I've long talked about and that I think I would like to think is going to come to fruition on some level this year is a recording studio for the podcast.
Okay.
Just kind of in general, like a space that is reserved and designated for that so that maybe people can come and meet here to record. You know, we've talked about renting out spots and going to places, and I think that's definitely still an option. I would be open to doing that. I throw that out there as things that personally and for the pod, I think have been former resolution talks and are still at the core of where I'm at. So that's all I want to say, and I want to extend to you not just the thanks for being here and doing this,
but for
being in my life, being somebody that I know.
Thank you.
And I want to give you the platform to do as we normally do, last words. So if you have an origin of that you want to hit us with,
I didn't bring one. I wasn't prepped.
No worries.
You know, looking forward to whatever's going to go on this year. Looking at 2026 with optimism, going to ride whatever wave comes in. For me, it seems like a kind of a little bit of a scarier wave than what I wanted, but this is the wave that's coming in. I'm wishing that to the listeners, the Type 5.
Yeah.
And to you, Trevor, that just let's all go with the flow and no matter what happens, have a good time out there.